today we'll have one, the main scripture that was read in your hearing. We'll ask you to keep your Bible open, and we'll venture some other places for our message today. We need to prepare ourselves for what God is about to do with His people. The people of God, we are not ready for what God is about to do. Simply because we do not expect Him to do what His Word says that He will do. We do not expect Him to come see about us. We sing the songs. We pray the prayers. We say all the catchy cliches. But do we really believe and expect God to do what He said He will do? The message today, and is, I think Sister Carol helped me with this the other day. Sister Carol and Ferguson in the Bible study, I posed the question, say, what do you call the big word that if you take the first letter of other words and make one word? And what was that word you said? Acrostic. That's a big word for saying what I just said. It's not really a big word. It's a word that lets you know that there's more than one way to skin a cat. What we have here today is we are going to use an acrostic for our message, and the message is one. And there's only three letters in one, but it's one. In the passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, there are some basic reasons why we should walk worthy and strive to keep the peace and unity of God's Spirit in the church. There is a great need to keep peace and unity in the church. One is the number of unity in numerology in the Bible. The passage of scripture that was read in your hearing said there is one body. Not two, not several bodies of believers, but just one. And in this imperfect world, there are many different denominations of churches. But note what God is doing. God is creating only one body of people out of all these different denominations. He is trying to make, or he's going to make a people who will trust and follow His Son. Then it says there is only one Spirit. The same Spirit that dwells within one member of the body dwells within all members of the body. It is God's Spirit that causes a man or a woman to be born again. It is God's Spirit that calls and gifts and directs each member to fit in and work within the body. That's why somewhere in there says there should be no schism in the body of Christ. That's why, help me, Holy Ghost. A few minutes ago when Minister Allen was saying that song, the Spirit in the believers met His Spirit, and they all agreed. That's why we have to, when we come to the house of God, you need to start preparing yourself for coming to the house of God. You don't need to wait till Sunday morning to start preparing yourself for coming to the house of God. You need to do it beforehand because you need to talk to God. There are some things that we need to get out of the way every day of our life. That's why you need to talk. One body, one spirit. We all have to be there at the same time. Then it says there's one hope. Every genuine believer has the same hope. And that hope is the day of redemption. It's not to be a new world created perfectly for Christ, for everybody. It's to be created just for those that belong to Him. We need to understand that when we come to the body of believers, you are not a separate entity within yourself. You are part of the whole. And without all the parts, it will not be a whole. Amen. We're talking about one. One unity within the body of believers. Point number one. The O in one. Obedience. Obedience. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Lord, you're going to have to work this out. For by one man disobedient, many, for by one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Help me, Holy Ghost. God saves us for two purposes. Purpose number one is for you to obey Him. Purpose number two is for you to lead other people to obey Him. There are two types of obedience, and there's a massive difference between the two. One is forced obedience, and the other one is free obedience. Forced obedience, you have no choice. And when you have no choice, these are some of the things that it reveals when you are forced to obey. There's fear of rebellion when you are forced to obey. There is a lack of control when you are forced to obey. There is a weakness of purpose when you are forced to obey. There's a selfishness and self-centeredness when you are forced to obey. There is a low self-esteem when you are forced to obey. There's no sense of godliness when you are forced to obey. See, when we are made to do things, we feel kind of enclosed. We feel kind of in a box. That's why, brothers and sisters, God gives you a choice about whether you will obey Him or not. He does not force you to obey Him. You have to make up your own mind. Because if some of us, if you could be forced, there would be somebody would force you to obey God in every part of your life. But if you are forced to obey Him, you don't enjoy yourself. Y'all don't look too much younger than me. When grandmama and grandpapa said, you get up and you go to church, you didn't have a choice. You went because you went for preservation. Preserving two things, that peach tree and you. Because if you did not obey, that's forced obedience. But then when I'm 21, free born and grown, away in the Air Force, and they have chapel, and I just find myself going to chapel. Nobody makes me go. The chief sergeant or the master sergeant or whoever's in, they don't make me go to church. But I go. That's choice. That's choice right there, brothers. You're not forced to do it, but you do it because you want to do it. That's the best kind of going. Then free obedience, and it reveals just what I quit talking about. You got a choice to make, to obey or not to obey. Can I just tell you and stop right there and stick a pin, and I'll try to pick up right there again in a minute. But when you are away from home and you call and they inquire, did you go to church? They're asking you a question that they want the answer that they know that they ought to receive, that they would have received if you were at home. And it's something about it, if you don't hurry up and answer, they know. They know that joker didn't go today. He might have gone last Sunday, but he didn't go today because you didn't hurry up and answer. And when you miss a whole bunch of Sundays and they call, you'll start to telling a lie. I know none of y'all never did that, did you? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But there's one thing about this God. Help me, Holy Ghost. You cannot lie to him about your choice. If you have not chosen him and you're not sure that you've chosen, he knows. But it's one thing I love about it. Here, when you haven't really already shown up, I mean downright shown up, selected him, and he'll keep babying you along. He'll keep blessing you. He'll keep letting you get out of stuff that ought to hem you up. He'll keep getting you out of that stuff. And I used to fish, y'all, and I haven't been able to do that much in lately. And sometimes we do something called bait a hole. Yeah, that's where you take it and you buy that feed. That you can buy some sinkable rabbit feed and take it to the river and drop it over, and it'll sink to the bottom. And when it sinks to the bottom, the fish will come along and eat it. So what you do the next time you go fishing, you fish that same spot because the fish have gathered at that spot. Yeah. Y'all done been baited. Y'all done been baited. The food was thrown out yesterday or day before, and you coming back now, and the hook is going to drop some bait down in there. And it got an eagle claw in it. The eagle claw is called the Word of God. And when it drops down in there, you just see it. And I like to think that God has a sense of humor like me, and he'll take it. He'll be tight line fishing for you. He won't fish with a cork. Some of us can't fish with corks, or some of us because we're too small. So God will tight line fish with you. That means he'll drop that weight in that hook down in there and have that eagle claw in there, have that earthworm. The earthworm's about that long, and hook it in the middle and hang on both sides. And he just take it and he just jig it. He just drop it down and he pick it up. Drop it down and pick it up. That's that. One of them drop downs was that song, that Minister Allen song a while ago. Jigging it right in front of your face. And you thinking about how good God done already been to you. And then you see him when he pick it up, you see God leaving and you don't want him to leave. So what do? You bite hook, line, sinker and all. And he got you. So God sat there, and then he just tightened that line on you. And listen, if you're a fisherman, you can tell the difference when you hooked a fish and when you hook the stump. When you tight line it out in there, sometimes you'll hook a stump. And if you hook a stump, it'll just stay right there and it won't move. But when you hook one of them big goggle eyes, he'll just kind of come and it'll start trembling. When it starts trembling, you know you got it. And then you just keep pulling, just keep that pressure on it. That's what happens when you keep coming back to church and you never seem to be satisfied. The hook is in your mouth. And it's one thing I love about an eagle claw. I'm going to bring this to show this y'all one of these days. An eagle claw hook number 6, it's about that long. And it got a look, and it goes go down, and it curves. And it got a fine point on it, and about that far from the end of that hook is what they call a little barb. And a little barb is a piece of the metal that sticks up there that won't let the hook slide straight out your mouth. Uh-huh. That's that extra song that they sing. That extra chorus that they sing on that song that won't let you forget about it. And then he just hooked you. He just said it and it just start trembling and you just brain on up. You'll be glad to see that line when it tighten up. And then when you get the fish up there, I'm gonna go back to a message, y'all, but I got to finish this right here. When you get that fish up there, I used to wonder why could I feel that fish trembling with that hook in his mouth. Uh-huh. He said it. It hurts. But you know what it is with us? That fish have left where he is comfortable. You are the same way when you come to God and you leave your sin. You are leaving your comfort zone. And we want to stay in our comfort zone. See, some of our comfort zone is that we've been coming to church for the last 35 or 40 years. Still in my comfort zone. Have not gotten out of my comfort zone. God got an eagle claw number 6 hook in your mouth. And he's not going to let it go. And I pray and I hope and I thank God that I'm the eagle claw number 6 hook with a short shank in your mouth. That's not going to let you go because it's not going to be a lot of the hook. You can't straighten it out because there's not enough of it for you to straighten out. It's going to have to stay bent. That's what happens to you when you come to Christ. When you make that choice, you decide on your own. Obedience. Free to make the choice to come to Christ. Okay. Listen. When you make the choice of your own, when you love him and you trust him, because he's interested in you and he cares about you, and he has a sense of godliness, and there is a sense of sisterhood and brotherhood within the group. So therefore, you stay with him because you made the choice yourself. Nobody forced you to be obedient to God. You just made up your mind. Obedience assured demonstrates some things for us. Obedience demonstrates love towards us. Obedience demonstrates that God is worthy. It demonstrates that Christ is God. And then obedience shows us all these things. But then obedience comes right along and it assures us of some things. It assures us of a prosperous life and success. Obedience assures us of entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Obedience assures us of the mercies of God. Why do you say the mercies of God? Because God showered his mercy upon me. Because he allowed me to be saved. He sent his son to die for a wretch like me. Obedience assures that a person is a member of the family of God. See, every human being is a child of God, but everybody not in the family of God. Obedience assures that we know the truth. That's why you come to Bible study and study your own Bible so you'll know the truth of what thus saith the Lord. Obedience will assure you of that. Obedience assures me that I'm gonna be blessed. I'm already blessed. Obedience assures me of that because Jesus was obedient to his Father and he was truly blessed. Obedience assures the abiding presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Obedience assures deliverance from my enemy. Y'all thought I especially like that one, because my enemy is Satan, and Satan was after my soul. He was after to get me to go and abide with him, and obedience to God assures me that the devil can't bother me or can't have me. He gonna bother me, y'all. He gonna come after me, y'all, but I got a big brother who can take care of him. God will provide for me if I'm obedient to him. Obedience assures that God will be our God, will be our God, and that all things will work out for good, for my good, if I'm obedient to him. Obedience assures me of being loved by God and being loved by his son. Obedience assures me of a good and long life. I thought about that, and I asked God a question. I said, God, if you assures me of a long life, I said, why do some Christians die young? He answered me, y'all. He said, if they hadn't have been a Christian, they'd have died younger than what they did. I know God's all right. He promised that he would let us stay here as long as he deemed it necessary. Obedience assures being a friend of Christ. Obedience assures of eating the good of the land. Obedience, somewhere in his word, he said, is better than sacrifice. No matter what you do, just be obedient to God. That's the first letter in the word, one. Obedient. Then I'm learning how to spell. I thought about my first grade teacher, Miss Moselle Thomas. She would teach you how to spell the words one lick at a time in your hand. So I would be on my second lick. If I couldn't spell one, she would say, N stands for no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You got to walk. There's no condemnation. Listen, we talk about... I'm going to get this thing down right one of these days, but right now I don't have it, y'all, so y'all got to bear with me. Listen, death to the believer is not punishment. All the penalties for our sin have been paid. That's why it's not a punishment. Christ paid the price. We know that Christians die, and we should not view death of a Christian as a punishment from dying. True that the penalty of sin is death, but the penalty no longer applies to the believer, because our big brother have already died for all of our sins. And if we receive him, there is no condemnation. No condemnation means that the believer is not doomed or damned, but is free from the penalty of death and sin. He or she is not judged as a sinner, but is delivered from the condemnation of death and hell, and is counted righteous, not unrighteous. I may have lived a wicked life, but because I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, help me, Holy Ghost, he paid the price. I don't have to pay the price. He paid the price. He paid the penalty for death. He paid it to his Father God, and God said, it's all right. Yeah. Listen, but it says something in that verse in there. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are. That great big old word right there. I-N. Those that are in Christ Jesus. Help the Holy Ghost. I knew I was forgetting something. I knew I was. Brother Malcolm, bring me a cup out there, please. Y'all know I'm going to show y'all something here. And Brother Malcolm, that's all right. That's all right, Brother Mal. That's all right. Y'all will get it. Y'all see this water? All right. I'm in Christ Jesus. This is, Brother, where's Brother Brunson? This is one of those vitamin C drinks. He said, I need to drink every after I preach in here every Sunday to put my electrolytes back in me. He's trying to keep me healthy, and I'm making a mess here, Brother Earl. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I'm in. When you get in Christ, help the Holy Ghost. When you walk down the streets, when you're in walking and shopping in Walmart, you are in Christ. They don't see you. They see Christ. And if you try to walk out of Walmart without paying for something, instead of seeing you, they're gonna see Christ, and you're gonna be a bad what? A bad example for Christ. That's why, brothers and sisters, you need to be Christians other than Sunday morning. You need to be them 24/7. If you are now. There's some of this still in here. But this that's out of here, that's in here, you can't get it out. It's in there to stay. I can get this oil out of this water if I don't shake it up. Because it's one is heavier than the other one. But in these two, this vitamin C drink is in this water. In the water, so you can't get one without getting the other one. And here you can get one without the other, because one